This podcast of this Swain event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
Touchdown or turnover is backed by Alcorton Federal. You don't have to take an L just because you can't listen to the Swain event live. You can catch up on the podcast posted daily on the app, online, and on iTunes.
Let's go to TC in Athens here on the B-Drive Waterproofing Hotline. TC, good morning.
What's up, Fondo?
What's up, man? Let us know what's going down there in Athens, Georgia, TC. I know you got all the scoop.
Well, man, I was a little more concerned about what was happening in Knoxville this morning after the beating that Ball Hoops put on those yipping chihuahuas. I was a little nervous that the PETA people were going to be down there surrounding the basketball complex.
I'm sure they're going to be here. I'm sure, because it was an absolute beatdown. What was funny is Smokey dressing up as Bevo and messing with the Georgia mascot. You can't beat that, can you?
That was good stuff, man. That was creative. That was awesome. Oh, my God. I wish people down here in Athens, though, I wish they knew they even had a basketball team.
I'm sure they don't.
So I could talk old trash, but nobody here even knows.
Probably not even bothered.
Dude, it's crazy, man. But yeah, man, I can have Cheney up there for lunch by noon, around noon, and then we could head on over to the complex for the press conference by 1.
I would love that, man. I think Pruitt has always liked Jim Chaney. I think Pruitt and Chaney have talked. There's going to be some people that Pruitt will talk to and have talked to that no one's going to know about. Pruitt prefers no one to know anything. But I think what he's finding out as a head coach, you can't prevent that all the time from happening.
Yeah.
Chaney has to be careful because Chaney's in a sweet spot. He's in a really sweet spot, making $950,000. He gets to coach at a place where they are drafting talent, but he's underappreciated for sure, and his contract has expired. I haven't heard anything about a new deal coming at all. Maybe that's something that's going to happen. Why not keep that thing really, really, really quiet if you Pruitt and Chaney? Because Chaney doesn't want to jeopardize a sweet spot that he's already in. I think Jim Chaney will be valued here a whole lot more. Pruitt would hurt Georgia by taking away Jim Chaney, because we know how much him and Sam Pittman, they're boys. Alabama lost their offensive line coach. Alabama made a run at Sam Pittman before, and Pittman turned it down. If I'm Alabama, I'm making another run at Sam Pittman. And I would rather Alabama have Sam Pittman than Georgia, to be honest.
Does it surprise you all the guys for Georgia that are declaring for the draft? I mean, they're losing a ton of guys, because really I thought, you know, next year is their year to really make a run at the national championship. But with all the guys that they're losing, man, that really I don't know if they're going to have. I mean, I know they've been getting talent year after year, but boy, that's a lot of leadership talent that they're losing as well.
I'm surprised. Actually, I'm not surprised, TC, because the amount of people declaring around the country. I mean, I think kids are figuring out that you can if you make a roster, you can make money. You can do it. There's a lot of undrafted free agents. There are a lot of guys who are not drafted high, make teams. You play in the SEC. You're ready. When you play the SEC at a high level, you're ready for the NFL. And I think guys are willing to take that chance without getting hurt. Now, I think Miko should have stayed because he can develop as a wide receiver, has suspect hands, still learning the position. Remember, he was an athlete coming out of high school. I think Nada is ready.
Really,
dude, that's a grown man.
Yeah,
right
I think
there,
he's Nada. Ready. I think really could have used another year, to be honest. I think Holyfield made the right decision being a running back, knowing that your shelf life is really short. So some of the guys I'm surprised on, some of them I'm not.
Yeah. I guess just overall I was a little surprised that many, just with the opportunity that those guys had to really have a really special season next year.
Yeah. I mean, they have a lot of talent coming in. There'll be some young talent. They lost 6 players from that program, and that's – I think that is stronger than them losing a couple guys to the league. I mean, to lose Justin Fields in the way they did, now Fromm is the guy. There's no doubt about that. But Kirby went out, tried to get the best player in the state of Georgia, one of the best players in the country, and Justin Fields, and it blew up in his face. It absolutely blew up in his face. It might have cost him a play, cost him a chance to play for a national championship this year.
Yeah. That's crazy. Well, man, love you guys. Love the show, brother. Keep up.
Thank you, man. Hey, if we hire Chaney, I'll be giving you a call, man. I'll be giving you a call, TC. Don't get any tickets on your way up here. Because you know the GA patrol will stop TC and make it difficult for him. We might have to intervene.
On Georgia and all of their departures, I will say they have a replacement for just about everybody. They're bringing in a five-star receiver, Dominic Blaylock, and if you watch the Army All-American game, that kid absolutely torched the opposing defense. I imagine he will play early, and then they are bringing in a tight end that is ranked inside the top 200. They're bringing in a running back that's ranked inside the top 200. So I'm not saying Georgia is at Alabama's level, but Georgia is at the point where, although they're young, they do have talent to replace the guys that they're losing. And they didn't lose a lot of guys on defense. In fact, they had J.R. Reed return, who is a big-time defensive back. And then they add Nolan Smith and N'Kobe Dean. Those are big-time recruits.
This really is where the rubber meets the road, truly, for Kirby Smart, though. This team's going to be good. I think you can say that with the players that they have. But I think it's still very much up in the air if he can truly make them consistently elite. Because I think he's shown that he's not world's best in-game coach.
No.
And so I think that's the question that's up in the air for Georgia right now. But, yeah, like I said, they're going to be good. You can't not be with that kind of talent. But it's can he truly take them to that next level?
If Georgia's going to consistently win, the quarterback that they have behind Jake Fromm, whether he's there on campus now or they're going to get him in this year's class, he has to be the guy. Because if he's not, they're going to drop off.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Fromm is important, very important. And that's the difference between Georgia having a chance to win a championship and LSU, who's been sputtering for all these years with the great defense and talent. They haven't had a quarterback. Jake Fromm is the key to that Georgia football program, and they better get ready for Jake Fromm, life after Jake Fromm, because I think if they don't, they're going to fall off. Even with that talent, you got to have a quarterback who has the leadership skills, who's poised, who can win on the road, and can throw from the pocket. That's going to be the key. And they lost Justin Fields. Who are they going to replace that backup with?
And that scares me because who's one of the top quarterbacks out of the state of Georgia in the 2020 class?
You mean the guy who's committed to Tennessee?
Yep, Harrison Bailey. I'm not saying Harrison Bailey is going to flip or anything, but I imagine at some point Georgia may put the full court press on Mr. Bailey.
I'm good. Derek Tinsley got us. We good.
That's fine.
We good.
We'll see what happens when it all shakes out.
Derek Tinsley blocked that. We good. All right, let's get back to the phones this morning. 865-255-03. Let's get to Daniel. Daniel, good morning.
Hey, how you doing today? I had a question. I watched the game Saturday, and when Chris Bogle done his commitment, he didn't seem too sure. They was talking about he might have switched before he picked up hats. Do you think he is solid with Alabama, or do you think he might, before signing day, flip?
Chris Bogle has been all over the place this whole entire time. He loved Tennessee so much that he wanted to commit it several times here. He loved Miami that several times he wanted to commit. For Chris Bogle, it's not over until the ink dries on the paper for me. Tennessee still needs a linebacker. They still need another offensive lineman. They still need a defensive tackle. I think if a player like Chris Bogle were to decide to come to Tennessee, I think Tennessee will figure it out and try to take five, whatever, because you're still trying to talk to George Pickens. You got to take the best available. To go back to answering your question, just flat out, Chris Bogle, when he signed, that's when I believe it. Nope. Yeah. I guess that's the question.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll add this on Chris Bogle. I told you this before the show. I was listening to Barton Simmons' podcast that he does.
He's the best.
For 24/7. He was on the NBC broadcast breaking down each recruit and kind of breaking down each team's recruiting class. And he said with the Chris Bogle situation that the night before, Friday night, the night before the Army All-American game, Chris Bogle was sounding like Miami. And then the morning of the Army All-American game, he told the NBC broadcast team that he was picking Tennessee. That was the morning of the Army All-American game that he told the NBC broadcast team that he was picking Tennessee. And then a couple hours later, he picked Alabama. And as Daniel said, it didn't seem like he was too confident in his decision. So, again, I don't think that's over until National Signing Day.
This is no shot at the player at all, but I just can't imagine going through the recruiting process and in January not knowing where you want to go, because the recruiting process now starts a whole lot earlier. That's why they implemented the early signing period. You're recruited like a senior when you're a junior. I mean, there's people that already know where they're going as juniors because they've been so they're so familiar with each program. We're talking about three different schools for Chris Bogle. I'm just surprised he just doesn't know where he wants to go at this point.
To me, that tells me that he maybe didn't take his recruitment seriously at the beginning.
Well, and he's definitely been a guy who, on social media, he's been a, you know, one of those like, oh, I need retweets from Tennessee fans. Yeah, he's an attention seeker.
He's enjoying the process. Yep, mm-hmm. He's enjoying the process, which... it's okay. You can win with those guys.
Yeah,
you
still absolutely. Can
win. Everybody's different. Everyone has different personalities. As long as they buy in when they get here and you have strong leadership, you can win with all types of different personalities. So I want people to have this notion that you only can win with a whole team of unselfish guys. They're selfish guys. You think about yourself, too. You think about yourself, your future. It's cool. You just can't let it overtake the team concept. We'll see what happens with Chris Bogle. I'll believe it when he signs. I believe when I see it when he signs. But for right now, he's been all over the place, and it may be another change. Let's get to Turkey Man. Turkey Man, good morning.
Good morning, individuals. Great weekend, by the way. Balls put a beat down on Georgia, and I'm kind of enjoying being in this basketball school and turning it up on them and not leaving no doubt. My question for the day is this. Chaney, what kind of a relationship, or you probably don't know this, but I was wondering this, what kind of relationship does he have with Fields, do you think? And do you think he could be an influence in, Chaney left Georgia to go to another school, you think he could be an influence and Phil's going to play for him?
Phil's already enrolled at Ohio State.
Has he already?
Yeah,
I didn't think he's already done.
Yeah,
I didn't know that was a done deal.
Yeah, he's already to Ohio State. And
I didn't know that was a done deal.
Yeah, he's Ohio State. So
Okay. That voids and nets my that plane's landed, guys. I'll get out of here.
All right, see you, man.
Yeah, that happened kind of quick, and there wasn't as much talk about it as I thought there would be. I guess it happened late Friday afternoon. There was talk about it early in the day that Bruce Feldman reported that he had heard about it, but it wasn't official that Justin Fields was on Ohio State's campus trying to make it his final decision.
I mean, Justin Fields dressed out in the bowl game, didn't play. But a week before that, people were talking about him going to Ohio State. I mean, even before his name was in the transfer portal. I mean, that was the likely destination for him. I think it's a good move for him, no doubt about it.
Yeah, that's a selection that makes a lot of sense.
Makes a ton of sense.
To me, your head coach is an offensive guy. They have a slot more or less open for you. You will have competition, but their quarterback's on the way out. Makes tons of sense.
Prediction time, you ready?
Sure.
2020 Heisman winner.
Because
he's going to have to sit out this year. In which I would pick Tua. I think Tua is going to win it next year regardless because he –
2020 Heisman winner.
Harrison Bailey.
As a freshman, the first true freshman ever.
Exactly.
I mean, I think he'll have a clear path to winning it.
With all those weapons, that schedule, Ryan Day is your coach.
Yeah.
Greg Schiano, also just being a good leader for you on that same staff.
A leader of men.
Oh, a great developer of men.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, man. We'll try to knock out touchdown turnover. come back from break. Everyone wants to know about Chaney. I want to discuss, like, the best scenario for Jerome Pruitt, an offensive coordinator, and his offensive staff. What is the best case scenario? With everything that we know, people that he's talked to, the best case scenario today moving forward for this offensive staff, we will discuss that coming up next. Swain Event.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. The next thing you know, you're being arrested for DUI. Be responsible, but remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call DUI and criminal defense attorney Marcos Garza. Put this number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty, say Garza. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799. Gentlemen, when it comes to taking care of your health, sometimes the first step is the hardest. Low T Center is making it easier to take that first step. It all starts with knowing the numbers that are essential to a man. Testosterone levels, blood pressure, cholesterol, prostate, and thyroid. Low T Center makes it quick and easy to get all these levels checked and more. Low T Center specializes in men's health and has expanded their services, including sleep apnea, low thyroid, hypertension, severe allergies, high cholesterol, diabetes, and annual physicals, along with testosterone replacement therapy. The physicians at Low T Center not only want to help you feel good again, they want to help you prevent any serious health problems moving forward. Now, with the holistic approach to your overall health and wellness, Low T Center is making it more convenient for men to take care of their health, and most health insurance is accepted. They'll even verify for you. Take the first step for your health and call 865-392-1388. That's 865-392-1388 or go to lowtcenter.com. Reinventing men's healthcare.
Beatty Chevrolet is celebrating 85 years of low prices. And during Truck Month, choose from over 400 trucks and SUVs, all deeply discounted. Like a new Silverado, now 25% off. A new Equinox, now 20% off. And a certified pre-owned 15 Equinox or Terrain, now $16,995. Plus, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life.
Big selection and even bigger savings. That's why it's better at Beatty Chevrolet.
Number 232, savings off MSRP, include all dealer savings and manufacturer incentives with approved credit. Must finance through GMF. Offer expires 8/31.
When you're out running around shopping for all your holiday gatherings, don't forget to grab the Mrs. Grissom's. Mrs. Grissom's salads and cheese spreads are perfect when you need a delicious, easy meal and ready-to-eat containers the whole crowd will enjoy, like the select old-fashioned pimento cheese or cranberry pecan chicken salad or the classic Mrs. Grissom's ham salad. Select the best. Select Mrs. Grissom's. Find recipe ideas and coupons at MrsGrissom's.com.
Touchdown or Turnover is backed by Alcoatin Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong.
T Touchdown Turnover, backed by Alcoa T and Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong, better rates, and better service. Tennessee will have a staff change, not just an offensive coordinator being hired, but there will be a staff change as far as an assistant coach leaving. Touchdown or turnover? Do we feel like a staff member will leave?
I'll say touchdown. Just there's been too much smoke around this co-OC thing, or bringing in more than just a guy like Jim Chaney. And to me, that signals that maybe there's already some thought that Chris Winkie goes and gets another job. Maybe David Johnson goes and tries to find another job or move him around or something of that nature. You still have essentially three defensive back coaches in Charles Kelly, Jeremy Pruitt, and Terry Fair. Obviously, Jeremy Pruitt isn't going anywhere. The way Charles Kelly is recruiting, I doubt he's going anywhere. Does Terry Fair still remain on staff? So I think there's a lot of different situations that could result in more staff changeups. So I'll say touchdown.
I say touchdown also, and for all the reasons that Ben said, I also look at a Chris Winkie as someone who I could see looking for a different opportunity. But I just think that, again, as Ben said, there's just been too much talk about these kind of staff moves and wanting to make room for different people, that I think something like that will come down the pike before all of this is settled, whenever that might be. It's, you know, August, I don't know.
I think you've heard this so many times. You make your greatest improvement from your freshman year to your sophomore year. You make your greatest improvement from the first game to the second game. Well, who to say that does not apply to Jeremy Pruitt, who's entering his second year as the head coach? I think when you look at this staff and the way he was put together, defense, they have some really good recruiters. They have a lot of numbers on defense. With the head coach being as great as he is as a defensive mind, I was a little surprised that there were so many numbers on defense. You mentioned it being two guys coaching the secondary. You got two guys kind of coaching the parts of the line there. I think Pruitt has a chance to bring in a lethal combination. And it's going to take for some staff moves to happen for him to do that. And the lethal combination I'm talking about is he has a chance to possibly bring in Steve Sarkisian with T. Martin, or T. Martin with someone else, Chaney, or T. Martin with somebody else. He has a chance to do that. He has a chance. And if you have that opportunity, you can't pass that up. T. Martin's one of the best recruiters in the country. He is well-known in Atlanta. You're trying to compete with Georgia. You're trying to flip this roster over. You have to recruit balls to the wall. And if you can add T. Martin to the staff, that's something you got to do. You got to do. Now, T is not in the same position as he was a year ago. Remember, he led an offense. He was coordinating for an offense that had a first-round quarterback. His name was hot at the time. He had better options than now. Well, things have changed a little bit. He is not with a job. He does have a great buyout situation, and he has great opportunities. He's not desperate. He doesn't really need to come to Tennessee. But I think for him to ultimately be a head coach, I don't think Louisville's the best option for him. Maryland under Mike Locksley, if he's able to be the offense coordinator, I don't know. But it's why I said that this little period between the 6th and the 9th is so important, because what's going to happen with Josh Gattis? Josh Gattis is the wide receiver coach at Alabama. Mike Locksley loves Josh Gattis. Nick Saban loves Josh Gattis. Alabama already has an offense coordinator that's going to be named and move to the offense coordinator position next year, and that is Dan Enos. Does Josh Gattis stay at Alabama, or does he go to Maryland to be the offense coordinator for Mike Locksley? Josh Gattis is a future head coach. Where does he go? If Josh Gattis goes to Maryland, who do you think Nick Saban is probably going to call? Take a guess. T-Mart, probably. If Josh Gattis stays at Alabama, there's a chance maybe T-Mart goes to Maryland. Mike Locksley gave T-Mart his first opportunity in New Mexico, so there's a tie. So if I'm Pruitt, man, I'm not waiting too long after this national championship game. I think Josh Gattis is the key. What does he do? Alabama plays tonight. What does he do? Does he leave to go to Maryland? I think T would prefer, if both situations were even, if T is getting offered the proper amount of money that he deserves to be an assistant coach here, bringing in his recruiting prowess, his ability to develop the wide receiver position, you better pay him what he's worth. If he has that opportunity and he has Alabama, the same amount of money, I honestly think he would pick Tennessee. I think he would. If the situation was even, okay, as far as the money and the title and all that stuff as a co-offense coordinator, I think he would. T with a Chaney, T with a Sarkisian, that's a lethal combination. Now, everyone wants to know about Sam Pittman. I just don't know if that's going to happen unless you have two offensive staff members leave. You bring in a co-coordinator situation, and then you move Will Friend to running backs. That's the only way I see that happening. And I think it could work out. I think Will Friend could coach running backs. I think he could absolutely do it. I think it could work out. You don't have to be a phenomenal running back whisperer to coach running backs. It's not that hard. Go recruit some dudes, tell them a few things, tell them where to go, tell them their protections, their assignments, things like that, and let them go be great. But I'm gonna say touchdown. I think there's gonna be some movement with the staff. And I think just watching this staff and watching year one, I think that extra number that was on defense, I think it need to go on offense.
Before we get to Vol Nation, there's a lot of talk that Sam Pittman and Jim Chaney are attached at the hip. They are a package deal. In your opinion, or maybe what you know for fact, what percentage is Sam Pittman attached to Jim Chaney at the hip in terms of being a package deal going somewhere else?
Well, in the past, they've been attached to the hip. I don't know if they will continue to be moving forward. If I'm Kirby Smart, I mean, I signed Chaney to an extension because y'all are not losing because of Chaney. Y'all losing because of you. You are the reason why you didn't win a national championship. You are the reason why you didn't win SEC championship in this past season. So Chaney's not the problem. I'm sorry. If I'm Kirby, I keep Chaney. I think it's going to be hard for those two guys to be attached at the hip moving forward. I think Alabama's going to make it really difficult for Sam Pittman. At least I would if I'm Nick Saban. You've already reached out to him once. There's going to have to be a move made if those guys come to Tennessee, because Sam Pittman ain't coaching another position. Sam Pittman is the best runner, the best offensive line coach in the country. He's going to be coaching offensive line if that move were to be made. I have not heard anything about that move being made with those two. In case you're just tuning in and you're just now catching this conversation, I have not heard anything about those two being a package deal to Tennessee. But I don't have a percentage for you, Ben. I don't know that at all. If there's been any conversations about them coming in together.
What I would ask more in this situation, if, and like you said, our knowledge around Chaney and Pruitt right now, we haven't heard much of anything. So that's the baseline. But what I would ask, if Cheney does become a realistic option, how attached at the hip are Pruitt and Will Friend? Because, frankly, if you have an opportunity to get Sam Pittman...
But you don't need to
Will,
fire.
Will Friend could be good. But Sam Pittman's the best.
You don't need to fire.
No, you don't. You definitely don't. But if you have an opportunity to get Sam Pittman, I mean, he's the best OL coach in America, probably.
Yeah, but you're not going to fire Will Friend. You're gonna move him if you have a chance to get Sam Pittman.
Yes, but and so my question would be, what in that theoretical situation? What do you do with him? That's what I would.
Moving the running backs, or you can put him in off the field role, make him assistant to the head coach, something like that. You're not moving Will Friend from off the staff. Will Friend was is very important to Jermaine Pruitt. Will Friend was one of the best offensive coordinators outside the Power Five when he was at Colorado State. He's a good offensive coordinator. He's a good offensive mind. So. He is very beneficial. People who don't know what they're talking about automatically assume, they're just friends. This ain't Butch Jones and Chico. This ain't Butch Jones and Mike Canales. Like, Will Friend's a good football coach, and he's a former offensive coordinator that put up some big points at Colorado State, who worked for a really good coach in Mike Bobo. So this whole notion that Will Friend is not good, that he's just here because he's best friends with Pruitt, is pretty much hogwash right now. Like, he has value. But if you have a chance to bring in a Sam Pittman, you got to bring Sam Pittman to coach line, and then you move Will Friend to running back. That's what I would do.
And I should have clarified there. Tennessee has no reason at this point to get rid of Will Friend at all. He just makes for an OL coach an exorbitant amount of money, and you would have to do something with him if you had the opportunity to get Sam Pittman. And like you said, you don't want to use him or lose him. I mean, he's a useful asset at this point. But that would create a really, really interesting situation. But again, completely hypothetical. We'll see where this goes.
All I know is that if T. Martin coaches at Alabama, I'm giving up on college football for forever.
Please no.
If I see T. Martin wearing that ugly, god-awful, just horrid red, whatever. I'm so angry at Alabama envisioning them, I can't even think of their distinct color.
Crimson,
thank you. If I have to see T. Martin in crimson, I will lose my mind. I'm giving up on college football forever. I will be the one out here pushing Tennessee to be a permanent college basketball school. I can't deal with T. Martin and crimson.
You know, so it hurt to see Jay Graham and other SEC teams' colors, but T. Martin would be, that would be on another level, especially Alabama.
It don't bother me to see Jay in, like, A&M gear, but to see T., who's from Alabama, being Alabama gear, that would bother me too. That would bother me. But I'm telling you, Josh Gattis is the key right there. What happens to him? And you know, T has some opportunities out there. Again, T. Martin talk, from what I know, hasn't been about him being the offensive coordinator. It's been him coming in as an assistant coach and having a co-offensive coordinator title and being able to help with the play calling too. That is a scenario that I have understood it to be right now.
And I bet things will heat up here quickly after tonight, because if you follow T. Martin on Instagram or even Twitter, he has been gung-ho about Amari Rodgers, obviously his son, playing in the national championship game, which has been really cool to see. Yeah, they're out in the Bay Area right now.
Santa Clara.
They've been with him all weekend. So I imagine after tonight, at the conclusion of Amari's game, things are going to heat up with T. over this week.
You know what I thought was funny? Over this weekend, we passed the exact date when Tennessee won a national championship in 1998. And T. Martin tweeted something about it. I don't remember exactly what it was, but, you know, it was something like, oh, it's great to see this, go Vol, something like that. And I had, I want to say, two different people tweeted me, and they were like, does this mean, is he just talking about the 20th anniversary, or is he, should we think that he's interested in the Tennessee job? Folks are just, they want to read every single tea leaf.
20th anniversary right now.
He was just talking about the 20th anniversary. Yeah. Don't think about it too much.
If he was still the offensive coordinator at USC, he would have tweeted the exact same thing.
Yep. Yep.
Let's get to Vol Nation. Vol Nation, good morning.
Morning, family. How y'all doing, man?
Man, great. How are you?
Doing pretty good, man. Doing pretty good. Just listening in. Good show as usual. Yeah, I agree with you guys. I think bringing in right now, I think it would be awesome as a home run for Chaney and T to come in. You know, maybe Sark and T, but definitely Chaney and you know, you move a couple people on defense. You know, I would, you know, take the IMG connection and put him as an analyst, and I'd definitely bring in Pittman, you know, if I could. Because I think with Pittman and then with doing the offensive line and then Will doing the running backs and then, of course, having Chaney, you know, and T being a recruiting machine, maybe a coordinator there, of course, working with the quarterbacks and learning from Chaney, I think you could probably eventually possibly see T in three. Because I know Chaney's not going to want to coach forever. You know what I'm saying? And he could groom T to become a great offensive coordinator, and he could be learning also to be a head football coach at the same time. I think just being around excellent people, you know, high caliber people, you learn a lot. And him being from, you know, this area or from Tennessee and playing in Tennessee and all that, you know, just having a heart for the as a volunteer, I think it would groom him nicely to be in that position to learn in all facets of the game and you know, like I say, one day look at being a head coach. The other thing I wanted to just share briefly was the basketball team getting back on the other side of the house. The basketball team, man, I told you guys when it first started that I saw something special in this team, and, you know, everybody was hyping up Duke, and everybody was talking about all these other teams, and I said, this team right here will be better in the second half of the season than the first, but I said, they're building something special. And I said, those two people of Grant Williams and the Admiral, that's a special commodity to have on your program. And what I'm seeing now is what you guys are seeing, you know, when we saw him play Georgia on Saturday, the confidence, the chemistry, the shot selection, interior passing, team defense, the defense rotations, ball handling, on-the-ball defense, three-point closeouts, all those things, every aspect of execution has becoming more and more fluid, more natural, more instinctive, and it's beautiful basketball to watch.
Yes.
And this is where, like, what you've been harping on for the past week, 2 weeks, whatever it is, that they're the best team in America. I truly believe that. And they're kind of flying a little bit under the radar. I think people are just not ready to crown them because they're not necessarily blue blood in basketball. You know what I'm saying? They want to keep the ratings up, and they want to keep Duke out there. But I told y'all weeks ago, Duke's not ready for this team right here.
I don't think so.
I think Tennessee can handle anybody in the top 10 right now, anyone in the country. But I truly believe that they're just getting better. And with Lamonte Turner coming back, I think you're having him an opportunity to kind of get back into the flow of the offense and getting kind of his groove back and all that. Watching them do the rotations and things of that nature, this is a lethal team, and they are deep. They're deep, kind of like when the Warriors were, you know, being successful. A part of it is because of their bench. You know what I'm saying? They can rest guys, they can pull guys off the bench, and you don't have a huge drop off. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, of course, it's hard to replace Admiral and of course Grant. But I'm just saying, overall, they have a really good bench. And with Bowden coming out there, and then of course, you know, you got Jordan Bone is, I think, the best guard in the SEC and one of the top probably five in the country. He is running the show, and he is taking charge of that team. And I think what Barnes, the only thing he could do right now is continue to work on that chemistry, continue to work on his rotations and things of that nature, and allowing guys to get better each week. But he can break down individual play. And I think everybody understands that when you go to the film room, you're looking at what you're doing. You know, even the greats of Admiral, when he was posted down in the paint, I think in the second half or second part of the first first half. I can't remember how many minutes ago. Guy posted them, and, you know, they were doing the entry pass in, and, you know, instead of just playing up straight up defense and forcing, making his shot difficult, he tried to reach over the back. He was a little bit overly aggressive, and people may think, oh, that's not a big deal. But, you know, in a closer game against Kansas or against somebody else, you know, later on, you know, as you get into the tournament, those fouls add up. And you don't want to do stupid stuff, you know what I'm saying, and help the other team out. So, and then, of course, you look at Alexander, and he does great with his fadeaways in the middle. When he catches in the center, he does a little fadeaway turnaround jumper. Yeah, but when he gets ready to do his pace post moves, it's a little different.
His money turned to his right shoulder, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, he might need to his in the box. He may need a little bit of work because he went straight up on one guy, got his stuff ejected.
Oh, yeah, that Scott Hook, he not real. And thanks for the phone call, Volley. That's Scott Hook, you know. And they said during the broadcast, you know, he's not as comfortable as he is turning off his right shoulder and hitting that jumper. Think about this. This Tennessee basketball team has had five guys on separate occasions go for, I want to say 20 points, but I can't because Kyle didn't hit that. He didn't hit that free throw, so he didn't score 20 points in that game against Samford. But they've had five dudes on separate occasions goes for 19-plus points on any given night. Jordan Bone, we know Admiral, we know Grant. Jordan Ballon hit 20 against Georgia. Like, these guys, this team is deep.
And if Lamonte Turner was healthy, he would have had 20 points by now.
Yeah. So, right now, I think Tennessee would beat Duke. There's no doubt about it. I think Tennessee's the best team right now. But basketball season is so great because it's not about right now. It's about playing your best in a tournament in March. Yeah. That's when it's the most important. But right now, I think this team is the best team in the country.
Yeah, I watched Michigan play Indiana yesterday because Michigan, number two team, ahead of the Vols. And I'll say this, Michigan doesn't have a dude that can handle Admiral or Grant Williams. I mean, they just don't have that presence down low. Now they have Jordan Poole up top, who's probably better than any guard Tennessee has. But at the same time, I mean, you just look, that's the number two team in America. And I think Tennessee would probably be favored over them if they played this week. It's all happening for that team, and they just got to capitalize at the right time. That's about the bottom line.
865-255-03. Stay with us.
Driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. The next thing you know, you're being arrested for DUI. Be responsible, but remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call DUI and criminal defense attorney Marcos Garza. Put this number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty, say Garza. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
For what is coming up on the Swain event.
Today looks to be partly sunny with a high of 63 and a low of 49. There is a 20% chance of rain tomorrow, partly sunny with a high near 60 and a low around 35. Wednesday looks to be sunny with a high in the low 40s. Weather on the Swain event is brought to you by BeDry. If your basement is wet or cracked, BeDry can help. BeDry.com.
Do you have cracks in your foundation? A wet basement or a nasty, leaky crawl space? Our listeners have heard about them on the Swain event for over a year, and now it's time to make the call. Give BeDry Waterproofing and Foundation Repair the opportunity to fix your home's problem. Since 1958, that's right, nearly 60 years, BeDry has been solving basement, crawl space, and foundation problems throughout the country. BeDry only uses high-quality materials from reputable manufacturers. They back their installations with some of the best warranties in the industry to provide homeowners with added peace of mind. They are truly an A-plus company. Whenever you start experiencing a wet basement, leaky crawl space, or a cracked foundation, remember these three words. Better call BeDry. Reach out to BeDry today at 865-662-5238 to schedule your free appointment. That's 865-662-5238. Remember, better call BeDry.
Do you
want a custom-themed tumbler or bottle to show off your team spirit every day of the week? Well, look no further than Game Time Sidekicks. Every design has you, the fan, in mind. Their tumblers and bottles are double-walled, vacuum-insulated stainless steel, and their quality is second to none in the market. From stainless steel sippy cups to tumblers and sports bottles, Game Time Sidekicks offers something for the fan of all ages to rep their team with. They have many different logo options, so fans will have something they are proud to carry around all the time. Use promo code SWAIN at checkout to get 20% off of your entire purchase at GameTimeSidekicks.com. They also offer $5 flat rate shipping. Be sure to check out the Game Time Workshop on the website and customize your tumbler to make it one of a kind with things like your nickname, number, or initials. Game Time Sidekicks. Show your colors and carry your team. We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, Insipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's, or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technician to see how we can get your phone working today.
Dan Mullen posing awkwardly with recruits.
For what?
Gators working out wearing costumes.
For what?
Vanderbilt
making a sorority-style video.
For what?
Aaron Murray and David Pollock opening their mouths.
For what?
It's time for... For what? Well, we highlight some questionable decision-making, questionable decisions over the weekend. We do that on Mondays. And, Ben, you're for what? We're going to go down to the state of Alabama, right?
We are. We are going to technically Troy, Alabama, but the for what goes to the Alabama High School Athletic Association, specifically Steve Savarsi, I believe that's how you pronounce his name. He has ruled Mayori Davenport ineligible for her senior season despite a clerical error that was not her fault. She played for USA Basketball, I believe, over the summer. And if you play for USA Basketball, you receive a stipend unless you are a high school player, I believe. And USA Basketball mistakenly sent Mayori Davenport a check for $850, and she used the money thinking that she was allowed to, and then when she realized that she wasn't, she repaid the money, sent it back to USA Basketball. USA Basketball came out and said it was an error on their part, and the Alabama High School Athletic Association and Steve Savarsi still ruled her ineligible. Jay Billis went completely in on the situation during the Alabama-Kentucky game, and he explains it a whole lot better than I did. So here's Jay Billis on the situation.
Basketball situation, an eligibility situation affecting a young woman who is a high school senior, one of the top high school seniors in the country, Mayori Davenport out of Troy, Alabama, plays at Charles Henderson High, has been ruled ineligible for her senior season. Jay, tell us why and what's going on in this story.
Well, it's really a travesty. She was ruled ineligible by the Alabama High School Athletic Association, and it's not just that. It was the sole decision of the executive director, Steve Savarese. And it was all over a check that she received from USA Basketball. She played on the USA Basketball U18 international team. They played in Mexico City, won a gold medal, played for her country. All the players get a stipend check. It was $850 and change. And USA Basketball always checks with each high school association, but there are only a couple of high school players on the team. It slipped through the cracks. It was an administrative error, a clerical error. And she received the check, and then the high school association saying, nope, your amateur status is now gone. And as soon as USA Basketball found the error, they notified the high school. The athletic association, the Alabama Athletic Association, was notified, and she sent the money back. No big deal, right? Not for the Alabama High School Athletic Association. I mean, there is one person standing in the way, and that's the executive director, Steve Savarese, and he refuses to rescind this ruling. Rulings in the past have been rescinded, although there has never been anything like this in the history of the Alabama Athletic Association. They've never had a case like this. Steve Savarese admitted that to me when I spoke to him on Friday. They've never had a case anywhere near like this. But in other eligibility cases, they have rescinded rulings that they've made, and they need to rescind this one. This is a travesty, and it is wrong. Mayuri Davenport did absolutely nothing wrong. She should be allowed to play.
Sad, man. Just sad. Can't play a senior year. You work your tail off your entire life to have an opportunity to represent your country and display your talents across the world. And it's not your fault. They send you money. You didn't know. How is she supposed to know? I mean, colleges pay millions of dollars for a compliance department to prevent things like this from happening. But you expect a teenage girl and her parents to know what they can and cannot do in this situation when it was said that it wasn't their fault and the U.S. basketball made the mistake, then they give the money back and you still keep her out? I mean, the NCAA is ridiculous when it comes to stuff like this. And I expect that from them. I don't expect that from a former high school coach. This is a former high school coach who coached at McGill-Tulane, who coached at Daphne, who coached at Ben Russell. I mean, this dude is a coach at heart. And you're doing this to a young lady? And I wonder if this lady was going to Alabama or Auburn, would he do this?
I was literally thinking the same thing.
That was the first thing that came to mind. When you kind of figured out that it came down to one person in the state of Alabama, you thought, well, she's leaving the state of Alabama.
She's leaving the state
of
Alabama.
There could absolutely be some vindictiveness on Savarese's part. That's just embarrassing, and I don't want to go down that road. I've railed on the NCAA and any kind of institution that does things like this. It bugs me to no end. It's embarrassing. It's idiotic.
Sad, man.
Yeah.
Sad. Really, really, truly sad. 865-255-03. Had a good question on the text box about Alabama going and possibly signing 28 players. And that question, Charlie, did you have pulled up there?
Well, it's already passes by now. But the general question was, Alabama obviously got Chris Bogle over the weekend. He hasn't signed yet. But that gives Alabama 28 recruits in the class of 2019. And the person asked, how are they able to do that? It's a hard cutoff at 25, generally speaking. How are they able to have more than 25?
Yeah, the SEC made a rule a couple years ago to prevent oversigning. And that rule was that you sign 25. But we have seen in the past that you can back count, you can gray shirt, you can do things like that to make up the numbers. So, for instance, Alabama last year, they only signed 21 kids. So that's four extra they can use for this year's class. So they could technically sign another player. They can go 29 if you look at it that way. Tennessee may have to go a little short this year because they brought in more players in last year's class. So that's why Alabama is able to sign 28. How I look at it from my viewpoint, looking at their commitments from last year and the 25 limit on the rule there.
Do NFL decisions impact the current class or next year's class?
You mean guys leaving?
Yes. Yeah, so if I believe Josh Jacobs is a junior. If Josh Jacobs decides to declare for the draft,
it doesn't impact this class.
It impacts next year's class.
Yeah, you can have a total of 85 scholarships. So just because someone leaves or someone transfers out doesn't mean you can go sign extra kids in that class. You can get a hardship waiver, which we had two players that have gotten that already. So now you can add those two if you want to. You don't need to just add players just to add them. Don't add a lifetime backup. If you can go out and bring in a George Pickens, or you can bring in an extra big-time player like Chris Bogle or something like that, then okay. But you don't just use that number just to go get a special teams player for 4 years. So.
And Jameson asked that in the sense of, do you think that helps Tennessee with Henry To'o To'o due to them running out of room? I think Henry To'o To'o, if he wants to come to Tennessee, he's a guy that Tennessee, he's one of the four or five left that easily has a spot. And
they'll make it work.
Unfortunately, for a guy like Christopher Russell, the kid out of Dyersburg, three-star linebacker in the state of Tennessee, that I would be surprised if he didn't come to Tennessee. Unfortunately, if To'o To'o decided to come to Tennessee, I think that would impact maybe his spot.
Well,
unless Tennessee wanted to take two linebackers, linebackers.
If both of them want to come, I think you try to make it work. I think you have to.
Well, it just depends on what the coaching staff and Jeremy Pruitt sees as immediate needs, I guess, because
it's linebacker.
Well, you also need another defensive lineman. Right now, you don't have, like, a tremendous edge rusher coming in. You have Roman Harrison, but he's not this bona fide big-time recruit. Not that that matters. Quay Vereen was able to impact as a freshman during as a three-star. Derek Barnett, you know, he was a four-star, but he wasn't very talked about coming in, so I'm not saying Roman Harrison won't have an impact as a freshman, but they don't have a Chris Bogle type.
They need another one.
Correct. And yeah. you could use another secondary member. I think you're shored up at offensive line for this year's class.
Yeah.
You could use maybe another speedy receiver. You could You're full at running back. I mean, you're good at tight end, but on the defense at each level, you could use another guy.
Definitely a linebacker. I would take both of those linebackers if you had a chance, if they wanted to come. But Henry To'o is a Alabama lean right now. So we'll see what happens, man. Brian Niedermeyer is his recruiter, and we know how great he is. I was looking at kind of at T. Martin's history here. And he's coached wide receivers at every place he's been, except for New Mexico when he was there for a year, where he coached quarterbacks. There's so many different combinations that can happen on this offensive staff that folks are getting bogged down with this whole OC. Who's going to be the OC? Well, what's going to happen? I mean, there's so many different combinations. T could come in, he could be quarterback coach. He could be a running back coach. He could be a wide receiver coach if Dave Johnson leaves. Does he want to? If I'm T, I don't know if I would. I mean, hey, you have had a great career coaching, recruiting, coaching, developing, and putting USC receivers in the NFL. You've had Biletnikoff caliber wide receivers at USC. If you look at our recruiting efforts, they have not been good enough. If you look at the competition, you look at Jerm Pruitt and what he wants from a recruiting standpoint, I think the direction we went in last year when he only had a few weeks and he was still going after the top guys, I think that tells you, like, he's not going to stop going after the top guys. He's going to get better coaches who can recruit those guys. That's kind of my thinking on that situation. So can T coach quarterbacks? I'm sure he could, but I don't know if I would want to if I'm T. Could T coach running backs? Absolutely. I'm sure he could. I don't know if he would want to. What happens with Chris Winkie? What happens there with some of the offensive staff members? Again, I would put more numbers on offense than I would on defense, especially if Pruitt's going to be working with the defense more. Have you one secondary coach? Have you one linebackers coach? Have you one D-line coach, whatever, D-coordinator, whatever? I think this Tennessee staff missed that extra offensive coach. But you can make it work. If you want to have the same number at DBs, I think bringing in either a Shark with a T or a Chaney with a T, or who knows, you may be able to bring three new names in the offense. Who knows? But there's just so many different ways this thing can go. And I think it's going to shake out here in the next couple days, maybe a week or two. It should shake out. Swain Event.